Good morning. Welcome to a special edition of the Roundtable and the Roundtable panel. A pleasure to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. It's the 13th of January, and a little bit of a surprise. We expected that coverage would take most of the morning, but because of the difficulty in voting in the House because of COVID, and also to get House members to the Capitol after last Wednesday's events, that has caused great issues as well. So they believe that they will come back probably in about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So that gives us some time. So what our plan is, just so you know what we know, is that from now until 11:30, we will have a special panel this morning. We welcome your letters, as we always do. Panel at WAMC.org. We have some wonderful people who have been standing by patiently all morning. I will introduce them in just a moment. A reminder also that not only is the impeachment proceedings going on, however, there is also the third part of New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo's State of the State message, which he is expected to deliver at 11:30. So assuming that the House does not come back into session, which they are not expected to until about 12:30, then we will go to the governor at 11:30. Since that is all clear as mud, let me go to introduce everybody this morning and welcome you to the proceedings. Of course, it wouldn't be proceedings. With all that time yielded back to us, we're ready to go for at least 40 minutes. We should be good. Alan Chartok is here, WAMC's very own. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joseph. We've been in touch, as you know, all morning, and this is some debate. The Republicans, I think, have a very tough time here. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, because they have to admit that what happened the other day was terrible. What they don't want to admit is that Donald Trump had anything to do with it. So I'll leave it at that, and we'll move from there.
Absolutely. A lot to get to this morning, a lot on Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney and the Republicans, and a lot to talk about in regard to that. We also welcome Mike Spain to the proceedings. He is the former associate editor of the Times Union and a longtime panelist on this program, and we are thrilled to have him here. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, and glad to be here at this historic time.
Yeah, it's I was taken aback last night when I was watching the coverage by how many times they were saying this is an historic moment, this is an historic moment, this is an historic moment.
Well, it is.
Well, I know, but I mean, it was like each thing that they were talking about right. was new, and it is. It is. It absolutely is, and it's really striking. Rosemary Armeo is also to be with us, and we had her on the line, and then she got off for some reason, and now I'm trying to get her reconnected. So, Rosemary, if you're listening to us, please pick up your phone. She should be back in just a second. I've sent my SOS text, so what could go wrong? But let's start. Certainly, we can begin and talk about what is going on here and what we need to know. Again, the House is currently debating whether to advance an article of impeachment that accuses President Trump of inciting an insurrection. Some Republicans were embracing the effort to charge him with high crimes and misdemeanors. The House last night formally called on Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to strip Trump of power. He declined to do that and writing a letter to Nancy Pelosi. And now we are looking to see how many Republicans come aboard, because there are many Republicans who are saying, not many, but a growing number, let's put it that way, who have come forward and said that they are ready to vote for impeachment. Right now, that list includes, of course, Representative Liz Cheney, who we mentioned a moment ago, Representative Adam Kinziger of Illinois, Representative Fred Upton of Michigan, Representative Jamie Butler of Washington, and Representative John Katko of New York, who was, we should note, the first Republican to publicly announce that he would support an impeachment message.
So, Alan, I think the big surprise, Liz Cheney, of course, those two have been going at it for a long time. So, but for her to be the third ranking Republican to come out and say, yes, I support impeachment, I'm curious to your thoughts on that. But the larger story, too, is the reporting from the New York Times in regards to Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell saying that he, while not saying that he would vote for it, saying that he privately backs impeachment.
Well, yes, it's extraordinary because those are both two major leaders in their various houses. The Republicans are really up against it here. I mean, you know, what are they going to say? That it, look, they were subjected to getting the COVID from these folks who were coming in. There could have been any, there were five deaths that resulted as a result of all this. They're in a very tough spot. They can't say that was good or right. What they can do and what they are doing is saying that they don't think that the president can be held responsible for it. Now, I don't know how to put this more bluntly than this, but we all damn well know that the president sent them down there. He did. He sent them down and he said he was going to send them down. And they went down to the Capitol. He can claim, well, I didn't really mean them to do all of that damage or to, but he did it. And so now they're holding him responsible. The Republicans are having a hell of a time, if you've been listening or watching this, to defending this. Our friend Jim McGovern, who, of course, is on the congressional corner all the time and who is a wonderful, brilliant man, has been overseeing all of this morning because he's the chairman of the powerful Rules Committee, which set the rule for this debate. The Republicans, to me, sound absolutely pathetic and bereft of any kind of ability to defend the president. But in any case, we'll see.
You know, the defense, Mike, and we do have Rosemary, so we'll go to Rosemary in just a second. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sorry to be late.
That's all right. We're all about an hour and 45 minutes late, so it's fine. It's understood. Mike, we're talking about and Alan is talking about the Republicans trying to defend this, and I mean, if it wasn't so important, it would be amusing. But they keep on saying that it's time to lower the temperature. It seems like a weak argument, doesn't it?
Well, these are the very same people who have stoked the misinformation, the false narrative that for 4 years, and including most recently that the election was invalid, that Joe Biden was not elected president, that Trump was, and that the election was rigged. They stoked all that right up until last week. And now they're calling for unity. And I love Jim McGovern's response to that just now. He said, we won't have unity until we have truth and accountability. And I think that's really exactly what's going on. You know, until yesterday, when Trump made those ridiculous statements before he got on the plane to go to Texas, you know, where he said, people are angry. And he used the false equivalence, you know, and said that the real problem were the riots in Portland and Seattle, and said that anything he said at the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th was totally appropriate. I think that really emboldened a lot of Democrats to stick to their guns here. And rather than just admonish or censure Trump, as some Republicans are trying to broker, they really want to push forward with the impeachment and try to get a trial going in the Senate. And you know, Mitch McConnell leaking out that story to the New York Times, sounds intentional. It was to get the message out there that he's not going to stand in the way. He's not going to whip up votes to block impeachment. He's going to let the Republicans vote their conscience. And so is Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader in the House of Representatives. In fact, there was a report last night that he was weighing whether he needs to go over to the White House and personally urge Trump to step down and stop all this right now. It sounds a lot like 1974, August of 1974, doesn't it?
It does. Hey, what do you think about, Rosemary, one last question for you, both you and Mike. What do you guys think of the fact that it's clear that with Liz Cheney doing what she's doing now, that the Republican establishment has decided to fight back and to declare war? But the Bushes have never been on the side of Trump, that's for sure. And Liz Cheney is, of course, a Bushite, and I think we should make mention of that.
I think that the Republicans get no credit for standing up now in the last week of what has been a poisonous administration.
You make a point.
Because this is so indefensible. They are not declaring war. They are not being brave. They are doing what they should have done at least a year ago in the impeachment, if not way before that. I have to tell you why I was late this morning. I just got a call from the wonderful people in New Albany's benefits. And they want to make sure that the minute that I am eligible, now that I'm teaching again, that I will get health benefits. I gave them up. They know. They have it on their records because I was so opposed to Trump that I went overseas. And so they said they want to make sure that I get in the minute that is possible. And Steny Hoyer, who was not a graceful speaker at all, gave remarks this morning talking about Al Green, who called for impeachment of the president, I think 3 months after he was in office, or it was a year after he was in office. And Al Green was right. And Hoyer, haltingly, and it was making me crazy how badly he read it, but it was a very moving indictment. That what he called for is exactly what the president is being impeached for today. This was foreseeable years ago, and everyone chose not to act. And the damage to this country is enormous. Okay. Impeach, he'll get impeached. The votes are there, and that's going to happen. And not all Republicans are going to go along with it. I want them punished. I want that lawyer Turley, who's again saying, oh, you're moving too fast. Impeachment has become unworkable if you cannot impeach this president for this offense. And I also want censure and expulsion and criminal prosecution of now three congressmen who have been implicated as helping the organizers of this insurrection, showing them around and pointing out the ways that you could get into the House. This is, it's all just appalling. And it's not as if, as the Republicans are saying, we impeach now, we can't do any of these other things. Yes, you can. Impeach them and prosecute them and continue to investigate. 1 week left, and I think of the damage he can do. He can pardon himself. He can pardon the other, I guess it's up to like 90 arrests they've made. He can pardon them before there's a full investigation. He can just do so much more damage. Please get him out. And yes, they should be, all of his pals, all of his enablers should be in the White House right now saying, get out now, resign. And it's better for him if he does. He's going to lose all kinds of benefits and freebies if he leaves. It's not as if he cares about reputation. That's not the deal. He has no shame, whatever. But just practically, they should be doing what is right, which is getting him out as soon as possible and trying to fix the damage.
Probably over the last 3 days, I have watched, 2,876 different pundits. Not one of them believe that, as Mike mentioned, Kevin McCarthy going into the president's office a la 1972 and saying it's time to resign and the president will do it. I assume this group is on that, believes that as well. That it won't be that easy.
Easy? Sure.
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No. It wasn't easy back in Nixon times, and it's not easy now. But what seems to be happening, and this is a convention of today versus the 1970s, things are accelerating at lightning speed. Yep. Even yesterday, it didn't look like there'd be any chance of this taking hold. And now it looks like it might even come to a vote in the Senate. It could come to the vote in the Senate. And faced with a vote that could knock him out of office, Trump may agree to resign. But Rosemary, I always thought that you were, you'd always exaggerate and use hyperbole to make a point. But all those points you've made are completely possible. This is the way things are moving. There might be a whole slew of pardons coming from Trump including himself, his family, and as many people as he can name who've been arrested and charged in the Capitol takeover. So it is really important that this moves fast.
And the fact, Mike, that the majority leader of, or the outgoing majority leader of the Senate, is now on board, basically, for this impeachment, means that there will be people, they're going to get some votes. And there may be a horse race here as to whether or not Trump gets thrown out. And he, and as you point out, both of you, Rosemary and Mike, don't think that the president isn't counting those votes right now, sitting there stewing in the White House.
So the two arguments, the two main arguments that seem to be coming from the Republicans this morning, I don't know if argument is the word, but the resolution to this issue, one is to censure the president and the other is to form a commission. To Rosemary's point, you can do all of them and still impeach him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's no, and it seems, I don't know, and again, this may be my vantage point of this, but the Republican argument, Alan, seems to be getting weaker and weaker.
Well, I think they are in a very bad spot. I think Rosemary made all of those points. I mean, what are they going to say? Basically, they can't defend the fact that the hordes came into the H-O-R-D-E-S, came into the Congress. They can't defend that. So what they have to say is, well, there's no real proof that the president had anything to do with it. You know, I've been thinking, this is the closest that this country has come to fascism, I think, ever. And the fact that people are doing what they have to do, they're kicking him off the social media, they're doing all of those things, it's because they want to preserve democracy in this country.
One of the
I have a very wise friend in New York. She's not a journalist at all. She's actually an artist. And she frequently asked me to explain political points to her. And her question yesterday, I just loved it, was in other countries, they have, and even in ours, we have revolutions and armed insurrections in order to win freedom. Here, isn't this insurrection to get a dictatorship? And that's so true. Why were they doing this? It's what line of reasoning have they been fed for years now by Republicans, by Donald Trump, that led to that just horrible action a week ago?
When you look at it seems as though more and more coverage, more and more tape, more and more video is coming out. That was the word I was looking for. More and more videos coming out and pictures from what happened last Wednesday, a week ago. And it continues to be just repulsive and stunning. And the fact that the stories continue, Rosemary, you mentioned the involvement of the three other of the three congressmen who had a hand allegedly in this, but also the fact that we don't know what's to come, right, Mike? We don't know what is the FBI is telling us the information they gave their first, amazingly, their first briefing yesterday as to what happened and where they are in all this. None of that put at least me at ease to say, oh, we've got this under control.
No, instead of it kind of dying down, it seems like every single day more information comes out, newer videos come out that show more blatant violence and not just desecration of the Capitol, but assaults on people, you know, using flagpoles, et cetera, et cetera. And but that what Rosemary referenced and you referenced was that before the rally on January 6th, the day before, some congressmen were showing some of the people involved in the rally around the White House, showing them where the Senate met and where Nancy Pelosi's office was.
The Capitol,
now,
yeah.
Ostensibly, you know, Congress members give their constituents tours of the Capitol. It's not uncommon, but it definitely needs to be investigated.
But that's different than planning the overthrow. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And when you do the overthrow, now remember. Yeah. And but all kidding aside, it's a little humor helps digest this a little bit. But nothing is funny about how close we came. I mean, they could have broken that one scenario where they were chasing that one guard up the steps, and he kind of lured them away from the door to the Senate. They broke into
which
the Senate
unguarded,
1 minute.
Unguarded.
Right. Like, I know.
It was
completely,
and they
broke
were
in.
Sitting.
Right.
Yeah.
But remember, they broke into the Senate
the
1 minute after the senators were out. So they were still in there then.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, Mike, because we're making the same point. I just want to emphasize it, that I think the coverage has shown how incredibly scarily close we came to what might have been a severe hostage taking or death of the elected officials.
Yes.
To which
and,
I just want to add. I want to add.
Even I don't want. Yeah, even I don't want Mitch McConnell killed by armed insurrection.
And I want to add there what. And I want to add, Rosemary, there were five deaths.
Yeah.
Five deaths.
Yeah.
So this is.
But I'm talking mass deaths, and none of those were elected officials. So you understand my point. I'm not trying to desecrate or to bring down the five dead, but it might have been Pence and Pelosi and McConnell and whoever else they have decided are anti-Trump now. It's just horrifying to contemplate.
Folks, we're gonna take a quick news break, and when we come back, we'll continue. We're just going to go with the BBC at the top of the hour, and then we'll be back for another half hour of conversation. Alan, Rosemary, and Mike will be back right after this.
Comes from Amigos Cantina, announcing dinners to go only for now, wishing good health and gratitude to our patrons of 14 years in historic Schuylerville. Order online at amigoscantina.net. Ambrose Electric Standby Power, an electrical contractor providing sales, service, and installation of residential and commercial Generac automatic standby generators, serving the Greater Capital District for over 40 years. AmbroseLEC.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Hello, I'm Debbie Russ with the BBC News. The US House of Representatives will move to impeach President Trump over last week's deadly attack on Congress in a session that's now underway. Democrats say the president incited the storming of the Capitol buildings and are pressing ahead with a motion of impeachment. The California Democrat, Judy Chu, backs the measure.
We were attacked by terrorists, but this time the terrorists were radicalized right here in the United States. Worse, they were radicalized by the president, who intentionally lied to his supporters that the election was stolen and then told them when to come to D.C., where to protest, and who to direct their anger at.
The Republican Jeff Smith urged the Democrats to reconsider proceedings.
At a time when our nation is more divided than ever before, let's put people before politics. President Trump will be leaving in 7 days. Let's try to heal this nation.
The Vice President Mike Pence has rejected a call to remove Mr. Trump from office. Mr. Trump has called the moves a witch hunt. Research by the BBC has found that a young black Brazilian is up to 5 times more likely to be shot by police than a white counterpart. The research also underlined the high level of police violence. Ligia Guimarães reports.
In the first months of 2020, an average of 17 people were killed by police officers every day. But violence has become so normalized in Brazil, rarely does it spark mass protests. A former Rio police chief told the BBC that pressure on officers to tackle criminals often armed cannot be underestimated. But our most shocking finding was the inequality. In 2020, if you were black, you were 5 times more likely to be killed than if you were white in Rio.
The Irish Prime Minister has made an official apology for the treatment of unmarried mothers and their children in state and church-run homes. Micheál Martin told Parliament it was a profound generational wrong.
The report presents us with profound questions. We embraced a perverse religious morality and control, judgmentalism and moral certainty, but shunned our daughters. We honoured piety but failed to show even basic kindness to those who needed it most.
A government-commissioned report published on Tuesday outlined conditions in the homes where up to 9,000 children died. President-elect Joe Biden has nominated the former American ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, to lead the US International Development Agency. Mr. Biden called Ms. Power a world-renowned voice of conscience and moral clarity. She said she will work with partners to confront the biggest challenges of the time. BBC News.
Support for WMC comes from ServiceNet, providing mental health and human services and welcoming therapists who are seeking independence and flexibility. ServiceNet.org/jobs. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring houseplants, seeds, and seedling starter kits, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., closed Sundays, a gardener's destination. StoriesNursery.com. Support for WMC comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, accepting new clients. Careers in Transition, LLC.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to a special edition of the Roundtable Panel 1105 on this Wednesday morning, the 13th of January. We are waiting as the House of Representatives is voting on rules in regards to impeachment. The debate regarding impeachment is expected to come in the 12 o'clock hour. Our plan over the next, say, half hour or so is we'll be with you until 11:30. Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to give the third part of his State of the State address. We will present that at 11:30, and then following that, we'll have WAMC News and Midday Magazine until the House returns. So that's our plan. We have a wonderful panel here, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Aramayo, and Mike Spain. Okay, let's go to some letters regarding Rosemary's questions about why Trump supporters mounted an insurrection in order to install a dictatorship. I think part of the answer is that freedom is not a universal value. Rather, power is a universal value. Those mounting the insurrection believe that they would have more power under a Trump dictatorship. Rosemary?
Well, that's interesting. Haven't we always been taught that freedom was the universal value, that people all over the world, Arabs are said to never want a democracy, and yet that was struck down, I remember, during the Arab Springs about a decade ago, saying, no, they desire the same thing as people everywhere, freedom, self-determination. And it does seem that this power under Trump, that's a dictatorship. If you're in the right camp, in other words, allies of the person in power, then you hold power, and that's more valuable than freedom. It's so anti-American, so undemocratic that I'm just shaking my head in disbelief at it.
Susan writes, those rebels, quote-unquote, see democracy and Democrats as the opposite of freedom. They feel that Dems impose too many rules, restrictions, and ridiculous, unnecessary laws, which take away their freedom. So they see their attempts at revolution are to gain freedom. Did you notice the flags with liberty on them?
Did you notice the anti-Semitic T-shirts? Did you notice the Confederate flag that they were waving?
Right.
Did you notice beating up on police officers? You know, there's a lot of notices there.
There were so many symbols. The New York Times today has a piece that identifies even more symbols. Those are the obvious ones, but, you know, QAnon symbols and the three, you know, the three number ones on the American flag and other symbols that have enormous meaning to these fringe groups and all of which evoke hatred and anti-democratic principles.
I thought for anyone who wants some, if they haven't seen it, and just a suggestion, is the New York Times did a visual explanation of what happened, bringing a timeline with a map and photos and video. That was extremely well done of showing at 10:30, this is where these people were. At 11 o'clock, this is what was happening. At 12:30, this is where the president was. It's really good. And if you get a chance to see it, I think just the geography and learning that there were groups in the front and the back of the Capitol and where they went in, we see these images, but to see them as to where they are on the actual building is really fascinating and really scary, I should note. Dave writes, dear, and I do mean dear panel, is anyone on the panel disappointed as I am with the quality of speeches in support of impeachment? As the panel has shown with your own responses this morning, the specious arguments put forward by those opposed, we are rushing, the motion is divisive, the president's words were not inflammatory, the election was indeed tainted, et cetera, are easily and tellingly refuted, yet we're hearing vapid pre-written statements instead or indignant rebuttal instead of indignant rebuttal. The nation is watching, and even as a partisan, I feel the case is not being effectively and forcefully made. Where is the quality?
I disagree.
Yeah,
I repeatedly have said.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I think Democrats are terrible at messaging, and I do think that that's a very good point that the writer is making. But this is just the Rules Committee. The real debate on impeachment comes tomorrow, and I hope then we'll have the Eric Smallwells and the full vote is coming today. I thought that was tomorrow.
Yeah, they're talking about tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the debate on the House to vote on incitement of insurrection is expected soon, I believe.
Oh, by the cool. Way. All right, I'm behind. I'm trying to do too much at one time. At any rate, though, during the debate on the merits of impeachment itself, I'm hoping then that we'll have the Schiffs and Smallwells coming up and making the impassioned kind of speeches that I want to hear. It would be, you are right, a mistake to think, oh, it's obvious that what he did was impeachable, and so we don't have to emphasize it. You do, over and over again, a message on messaging that Democrats continue not to get.
Alan?
Well, I don't ever want to disagree with my learned colleague, as they say in the House,
yes.
Rosemary. But I do. I listened very carefully to what they were saying today, and I didn't think that they were off base. I thought they were very good. Our regular congressional corner guy, Jim McGovern, of course, is the chairman of the Rules Committee, and I thought some of it was lighthearted, but I really thought it was an impassioned speech, and he did extremely well.
Well, and I think it's a good point to note that it's not, it's the Rules Committee, it's not, you know, we haven't gotten to the good stuff yet as far as the debate.
I want to cry. I want to pull my hair out. I want to jump up and down and say, yes, yes, you're right. None of those guys today did that, including, as I said, Steny Hoyer, who is not a graceful speaker. His points were all good. There's no question about it. But there's no persuading going on. There's anger. There's suppressed anger. But no, none of the righteousness of this cause is coming out in the way it's been presented so far. I still do think it's early.
Let me. I heard it. It just depends on whose ears you're using. I thought some of these people were terrific. I don't agree with that. I mean, we're going to hear more. I think Joe's right. But on the other hand, I was quite impressed with a lot of what I heard this morning.
I think Liz Cheney, the third ranking Republican in the House, had perhaps the most persuasive argument. You know, she basically said
Trump, that every Democrat used this morning, we should know.
Right, I know. He brought the people to Washington, and then he lit the fire and sent them on their way down to Congress. I mean, that's a pretty strong metaphor from anybody, let alone a leading Republican in the House.
We have a lot of letters. Let's go to Catherine, who says, aren't all the videos and recordings that are coming out evidence? Also, I've heard a Republican trying to put all the blame on the riot participants. They should be punished, arrested, jailed, throwing them under the bus to protect Trump, effectively trying to place all the criminality on the misguided rioters, white supremacy hierarchy at work, ? I do not say this in any way defending the action of the mob. We got this from Dana, who says, without this panel, and especially Alan, Joe, Rosemary, Mike, Malcolm, Libby, ... I would have gone out of my mind a long time ago from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. And we thank you, Dana, and I think we feel all similarly. Chris writes, Republican congressman stuck in traffic and having trouble getting into the building. Come on. I've used that excuse to weasel my way out of a terrible day at work, too.
Not only that, you know, they put up these metal detectors now, and yeah. Republicans yes. are making story, noise Alan. About them. Go ahead, Rosemary. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying go. That's a ridiculous story. That new congresswoman from Colorado who boasted that she would carry her Glock into the House, her bag set off the metal detector today. She refused to let the inspectors look into her bag. And they walked around haughtily past and said, you can't stop me. I'm on my way to vote. Our own congressman and women are part of the problem. And that is why I'm saying impeachment is one step, not enough. I want them all. I want action against all of them.
I'm
calling for their heads.
So the Democratic members of the House asked for the metal detectors to be put in because they were very concerned by their colleagues who were packing heat while on the floor of the House. So they installed these metal detectors, and as Rosemary said, you know, obviously they're still dealing with all of that, but it is extraordinary times, no question about it. Claire writes, Susan Collins said that her first thought last Wednesday was that Iranians were storming the Capitol. Tommy Tuberville may not be the dumbest member of Senate after all, says Claire.
Did you say Iranians or Ukrainians?
Iranians.
Iranians.
Oh, Iranians. Okay.
You say Iranians, Tuberville?
Susan Collins. It could have been, you know, from the planet Uranus. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Diane writes, corporations are taking money away from Republicans, which will interfere with McConnell's plan to get back in power in 2022. As a man living in the hills of the Rensselaer Plateau, Matthew writes, I'm growing the fullest beard that my follicles allow. I take exception to being associated with the wannabe Special Forces goons that invaded the Capitol last week. Home attitude and facial hair do not a Trumpist make. Thank you for the great show. Did we say anything about people with beards?
Oh, maybe perhaps.
Yeah, but many
people
have.
You know, people living out off the grid a little bit, like up in Rensselaerville or someplace. You know?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, I'm very upset that we upset Matthew because we don't mean to do that.
Not at all.
But also there was a thing of people wearing fake beards, right? That was a statement too, I think. And so that was concerning, and so that may have been where some of that came from. So,
point out that Muslim extremists are stereotyped as being big bearded Muslims, and that's very unfair to many devout people whose facial hair has nothing to do with their ideology.
Mike,
No, I just wanted to emphasize that Abraham Lincoln wore a beard.
So does every Major League Baseball player, seemingly.
Right. Unfortunately, so does Ted Cruz, but that's another story.
Doesn't pull it off quite as well, does it? Irene.
Expel him.
Irene agrees with Alan. Most of the speakers have a minute to make a point. They did a pretty good job with a minute. Let's see.
Not like the first impeachment. Not like that first impeachment where there were just some amazing speeches. And you can say quite a lot in 1 minute. That's not a good criticism.
Steve writes,
I thought it was.
I know. We do disagree, but at least me and one listener who wrote in disagree with you. So it's 2-1 so far, Alan.
Oh, well, if you read the op-ed pages, you know, in a lot of the major websites and newspapers, you know, you see some very articulate arguments being made.
Right.
The trouble is, you know, squeezing all of that into a 1 minute soundbite takes a level of skill that a lot of these guys don't have. And the speechwriters are probably overworked. You know, they've been churning these things out, and it's a lot of work.
Let's see. We go to Steve, who says, McConnell is not to be trusted. He will not really back impeachment. He will use the disorder and contentiousness of the debate to slow down the Biden-Harris agenda. He wants the impeachment issue front and center and meaningful change, and especially racial equality at the back of the bus.
You know, we really don't know. Go ahead, Mike. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. Alan, we don't know. One of the thoughts on that is that McConnell sees they haven't even talked to McConnell and Trump since mid-December, when McConnell recognized that Joe Biden won the presidency. And the this is McConnell, many believe, seeing the opportunity to cut off the Trump wing of the Republican Party and end the Trumpism and let the Republican Party kind of emerge from this and distance itself from it. And I think that's pretty good strategy. If I was leading the Republican Party, I think that would be the best thing you could do, is do everything you can to distance yourself from Donald Trump and all the people that supported him.
You know, the winds of change, Mike, are blowing now. You know, the McConnell has been really disgusting by not allowing voting to occur so that his people couldn't be held responsible on any number of subjects. Well, now Chuck Schumer is going to be the majority leader. There are going to be votes all over the place, and his people, McConnell's people, are going to have to say yay or nay. And they're going to be held responsible for a lot of the nays, or if they go along with the president, or if they don't go along with the president. So it is a time of immense change in the Congress.
Well, it's like your buddy Jim McGovern, the congressman who heads the Rules Committee, said today. It's about accountability and truth. You know, it's going to come out. And finally, people are going to see how each and every one of these members of Congress and the Senate really weigh in on important issues rather than being shielded by their leader.
We will take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up for this time. And as I said, we'll be going to Governor Cuomo's State of the State Part 3 address coming up at 11:30. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to our special edition of the Roundtable Panel. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be going to the governor at 11:30 and then Midday Magazine, and then we will return, we believe, to the House of Representatives and their debate on impeachment, that coming up this afternoon. Tom writes to us and says, I heard it said that some of the Republicans who opposed the certification of votes were afraid of violence against their families. Thoughts on that, panel?
This whole thing is very scary. And a lot of people, including the press, by the way, and I think Rosemary probably has spoken on this before and will continue to, have been singled out as subjects for this violence. And we know, and I think Rosemary or Mike made the point this morning, that a lot of the people who went into the chamber the other day were healed. And there they were, against, next to the Vice President of the United States, the Speaker of the House. I think we have to consider that violence is a real possibility across the board and including in our state capitals.
Absolutely. John writes, any chance we could impeach Jim Jordan, too, while we're at it? Good God, he's despicable.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Add him to the list. Hunter writes, perhaps if the GOP leadership had enabled the big bad Democrats and rhinos in the Senate remove Trump from office the first time, they would be swearing in President Pence for a full term on the 20th, and Mitch McConnell would still be the majority leader. We go to another Mike who says the Republicans that are against impeachment of Trump must agree with this statement. As Adolf Hitler never personally gassed one Jew, he must have just been an innocent bystander. That Ooh. From the son of a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah, well, that's an important point to make. Words are powerful. As your series, your excellent series that you have revised recently, about the power of words. Yeah. It can lead people to some awfully good things, and it can take people down a very, very deep, dark area. So we're seeing that right now. It's just moving at lightning speed.
We go to Kathleen, who says McConnell's openness to impeachment has more to do with his desire to follow the money than with morals or integrity. He's looking ahead to taking back the House and Senate in 2022. Companies and groups are being vocal about funding or defunding candidates depending on how they vote on impeachment. This letter from Nicholas. I have to agree with Rosemary. We are doomed. Listening to the floor last night and this morning, it's clear we are living in two realities. I have no idea how to bridge this divide. Kind of wish Malcolm were here because the Q contingent is waiting for the 17th for something big, and the other extremist sites are planning for the 19th and 20th to overtake state houses and wreak havoc at the inauguration, as we have talked about, of course. I am in the camp of no public activities. We need Biden and Harris alive. Malcolm will be with us tomorrow. We weren't expecting a show today, but Malcolm is scheduled to be on the program tomorrow. Let's see. We go to Tom. I heard it said that some of the Republicans who opposed... Oh, I already read that. I apologize.
The story laying over the top of all of this is that 4,400 people died yesterday from COVID-19. And our nation is in the middle of one of the biggest and incredible wars in, its history. And it's all... I mean, we're being distracted away from it when it's an imminent threat on all of us. It is just, this is an extraordinary time.
It really is.
I think he could be impeached on that. He's not distracted, Mike. He's ignoring it. And he has ignored it for
yes.
a while
yes.
and allowed it
right.
to get to this point. He has freaking not done his job at all, other than give Medal of Freedom to two completely undeserving partisans and the golfers. What has he done? He made a rally last night to boast about the wall. He's really not governed at all.
No, he's negligent. He's completely negligent. And when it comes to the attack on the COVID-19, he has been, MIA.
We used to say, we used to have a saying, we all did. I'm not saying the Shartok House was unique, but we used to say, accidentally on purpose. The fact that he has been negligent, it's negligence on purpose. He knows what he's doing. He is really, I've got to live with a woman who is, and I appreciate her very much, but who is despondent about what's going on in this country and with Trump right now and all those people who have supported this. It's more than she can handle or many people can handle.
It's a lot, no doubt about it, and it just continues. Fred writes and says, I have friends in the city of Albany that are contemplating taking down Biden signs because of the threats of the march on the Capitol. Which
interesting.
Certainly makes sense. Andrew writes, after listening to Jim Jordan spout the conspiracy theories on the floor, I'm puzzled by something. Every single claim he made has been tossed out of every courtroom the Trump team presented them in, with prejudice in many cases. So if Jim Jordan is currently under oath, how is he even allowed to say these things, and why are they not being stricken from the record immediately?
Yeah, no, he's insisting that he never said that the election went for Trump, when we know he did. and he was one of the leading proponents of that narrative and picking up on the present year. But I mean, you know, I don't mean to be naive or sound naive. A congressman lying and making false assertions on the floor of Congress. If we were going to oust everybody for that, it'd be hard to get a quorum. Ah, that's very cynical. I apologize.
But true, right? True. It's well, hard to find.
But you know, a lot of these people have been caught with their pants down. I mean, this is very hard for them to defend. Now, they, of course, their leader is the biggest liar of all. He just says anything he wants, it comes out of his mouth. And maybe they're saying, well, I'll have some of that. I'll behave the way that the president is behaving, and I'll just deny that I said something, or I'll make up another lie. It is very, very troublesome.
Robert writes, it has been reported that Mitch McConnell is privately in favor of impeachment in order to get Trump out of the way, quote unquote. While I believe it is imperative to impeach, it makes me uneasy to think we are being used by Mitch for his political ends. Well, yeah. We have a minute. William writes, asked Republicans what they would do if a Democrat president did what Trump did, and if impeachment is not for this, then for what? And if not now, then when? I've thought about that a lot. Yeah, like if you don't get impeached for this, what do you get impeached for?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be difficult. It has to take a lot of time. It has to be done. Well, take a lot of time. Yeah. It's a relative term, but it has to be done
by at least 3 o'clock today.
Right. It has to be done systematically and by the book. And the founders did not make it an easy process for us for a reason. And that's why it's worth going through the sweat that they're going through these days to expedite this matter and let the majority decide in the House and in the Senate.
We're going to end it there. We have to go over to BBC News and then the governor. Thank you very much for the special edition. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you, Joe.